Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Hunaktu Sahavirayam Karavavahai Tejasvinavahitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarna 5. The Jiva is infinitesimal by nature. Page 79. The Jiva is not complete because he is covered by upadis, Shankara's commentary. Thus, according to Advaita and the Vaishnavas, the Jiva is not all-pervading. Right? Because they're saying he's not complete. Because complete means he would be all-pervading. So because he's not complete, therefore he's not all-pervading, right? Because we're establishing that he's small and not all-pervading. But he gives consciousness, so he spreads throughout the body, right? And I'm not sure if here he's also the aspect of sarvagata. The jivas are everywhere. That doesn't mean, some will take it, that means, see, I am unlimited. No, it means that there's living entities everywhere. Just like, you know, in your house, there's millions of ants, you know, like that. Pitag Upadeshat. Knowledge in the Jiva is eternal because of teachings in the scriptures. Brahma Sutra 2.3.26. Right? So he is knowledge. So it's inherent in the living entity. It's his nature. But he's covered by the upadis. Right? Because of his desire. Like that. That doesn't create him. That just situates him in the material world instead of the spiritual world. Right? Madhva quotes from Kaushika, Shruti, in this regard for proof. The Lord is different from the jivas and inconceivable. He is supreme and complete. The jivas are incomplete because I am eternally liberated. He desires liberation from bondage. Thus the jivas anu, the jivas a knower. According to previous logic, being a knower is a quality of the jiva. Right, so he is knowledge. He can know, right, and reveal things. Mm-hmm. You know, something is there. He can reveal that this is what it is. Of course, we know that that's because the potency is coming from the Lord. Mm-hmm. But the point is in the practical application, he is revealing things. He's seeing things. He's doing all these things. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, that's because of his connection with the Lord. Yes. That's the actual position. Does that make sense? Because there's both these aspects. Is you're going to have the aspect of the jiva themselves and what they can do. But then why are they able to do that? Because of the connection with the Lord. They are conscious. They are seeing things. They are revealing things. They're spreading their consciousness and all that. So they're doing that. But why? Because Krishna is conscious and his consciousness is everywhere and all that. And we're a part of that. He's unlimited and we're on him. Yes. Right? And so then you're going to have both these at play at once. This is the Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. Because in others, they won't necessarily bring out both of them at the same time. While we don't have a problem with that. Because it's the relationship between the living entity and the Lord. Right? So the part that, you know, we're seeing, we're doing, we're this, we're that, that for us is fairly easy. But the part how, because it's the Lord's seeing, therefore we're taking part in his seeing. And he sees all, and that's the part that's a little tougher.
Yes.
Right? Because that's Krishna's, right? That's what we're talking about. That's the samasti, how Krishna sees everything. Everything's according to Krishna. And then vyasti is how we, within that, how we see it. Right? Because he's an individual, we're an individual, and so then we will see from our perspective. And that perspective is not a problem that we're an individual and have an individual perspective. It's a problem when it's not connected to the Lord's perspective. Yeah. So when we see within the context of what Krishna sees, then everything works perfectly. Because the idea that we can see separately, that just doesn't exist. Right? That's just not a reality. And so therefore, the whole point comes down is that when we are able to appreciate both of these, then it works properly. So when we see Vyasti in the context of Samasti or Krishna's, then it works perfectly. Material means I see Vyasti or my view on my own without Krishna. And spiritual means I see my view from the context of Krishna's view. Does that make sense? Then everything becomes proof. So that's why you'll also see sometimes it's explained in one way and then it seems to be the opposite. The soul does not see, the Lord sees, only because the Lord sees and the soul sees, so he doesn't see. The Lord is the actual seer. That's the Samasti. And the Vyasti will be that, yes, the Jiva, he's a seer, he's a knower. You know, his consciousness is spread. He's there, you know, Sarvagata, they're everywhere. That's from our perspective. But you have to see it in the context of Krishna. So that's what happens. Oops. All mundane philosophies that include Shankara only see Vyasti. They don't see Samasti. Because it's all about their principle, their position. So only the Vaishnavas actually see Samasti. Right? The materialists, they don't see it because it's all about their... Why do they want liberation? For themselves. So we see as even that seeing the two at once is not even seen, like we saw with the tattva bodies. They perform their duties in Varnashram, you know, from the position of, you know, by pleasing your Lord, and by doing that, they will attain to the position of Sarupya. They'll get liberation. So it's from their viewpoint. Right? So that's the uniqueness of Braja Bhakti is... It means you have your viewpoint, but your viewpoint has been perfectly aligned with Krishna. So it's not, there's no consideration about yourself separate from Krishna. Right? So Vaikuntha is perfect because the living entity sees their relationship with the Lord and acts within that in affection for the Lord. But they still see their position, that the importance of that is the benefit they get. Right? I serve the Lord, I get the benefit of being transcendentally happy. Right? So in the beginning, it means because we only see from that perspective, that's going to be brought out. But we see as it gets more and more advanced, no, it's about Krishna being pleased. Because if you actually understand the position, you know, your position with the Lord's position, if he's pleased, you're pleased. So therefore, you're not doing that to please yourself. You're doing that to please him. So not even worrying about your own pleasure, then that makes it the highest. Right? So we even see, remember within the gopis, it was talking about the Uttama, Madhyama, and the, what was it, Kanishta, or that gopi. It means we're talking about on the level of prema and stuff, is that within that, they're seeing just Krishna and his pleasure. They're not even worrying about their own position at all. Then you see that those who it's a touch there, but, you know, just enough for the interaction. And then there's going to be those who are more worried about the situation. In other words, one doesn't worry about the situation at all, one does worry about the situation, and one's in the middle. Right? So if the situation is favorable, then, okay, then Krishna. So the situations, you're looking at the situation first, then Krishna. While the other way, it's that you're looking at Krishna. Then you're looking at the situation. So you want to please Krishna, therefore make this situation nice. You know, the other is only when the situation is nice, then you can serve Krishna. You understand? It externally it looks the same. That's why the Uttama Gopis, the Madhyama Gopis, and the Kanista Gopis, they can all work together doing the same thing. They can all be preparing the kunja. But it's just, which angle is it coming from? So that's the Sarva Dharma. But it means one is you're giving up all anything mundane for the spiritual, but at the same time, then it can go further. And that it's not about anything about yourself and what benefit you're getting. It's about pleasing Krishna. And that gives the highest position. Right? No, we always have to bring it back to it. You'll get the best benefit. We have to bring it back to the Vyasti, because otherwise, you know, we may not be inspired. But the devotees who are on that platform, then it's a whole different thing. But because they're personal, they can relate to that, you know, people are like that. You know that that's necessary. So therefore, when they preach and all that, then that compassion and everything is there. Because compassion means it's about pleasing the other person. Mm-hmm. That's the point of mercy. Mercy is about pleasing the other person, mm-hmm. being kind to the other person. So therefore, the preaching, it has that thing of just being kind to the living entities and bringing them back to their natural position. Mm-hmm. But that karunya there can go all the way through until the conjugal rasa.
Yes.
And so it's karunya then that the gopis are interacting with Krishna, or Krishna's interacting with the gopis. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. so you'll see that come up. Is that, you know, so like that we that one example is that of the Madhyama is that she's Krishna's done something wrong, and she's acting in a way that now Krishna is unhappy. You know, unhappy meaning that he's been wrong, and so he feels bad.
Yeah.
But instead of like the Uttama immediately acting on that, she's leaving it for a while just to, you know, let him know that he won't do it again.
Yes.
Yeah, like that. So that'll be that slight difference.
You
know? So these kind of elements, then it's you have that these two are there. So when yours is when your Vyasti is perfectly in line with Krishna's Samasti, then it becomes perfect. And to that degree, it's in line. It's perfect, more perfect, most perfect. So Braj is most perfect. Dwarka is more perfect. Vaikuntha is perfect. You know, or you can say Dwarka is perfect, Mathura is more perfect, and how do you say? Braj is most perfect. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because Dwarka can also include Vaikuntha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the acharyas, they are trying to bring people to Braja.
Yes, it means our line, where it means what's being offered is Braja, whether one wants to function in that, because it's a matter of taste. Because you see, with Lord Chaitanya, a few of his associates, you know, he's tried to impress upon them about Braja Bhakti, but they appreciate Lord Chaitanya and that kindness and everything and devotee and that he's Radha and Krishna combined. They don't have a problem with all that. Just their taste is in that intimate service will be then with their particular Ishtadev.
Yes.
Like that. You know, their particular form of the Lord that they like to interact with by taste. So that's the thing, is the Sankirtan movement can accommodate everyone from Vaikuntha to Braja. You know, and within Braja, anyone from Shanta Ras to Conjugal Ras. Right? And in Conjugal Ras, anyone from right to left, you know, like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that means the whole everything can be accommodated within Lord Chaitanya's mission. That's the uniqueness of it. That's why you have such a wide range. So you have to, that's why the etiquette is so important, because everybody's not similar. The taste of this, the drug, like that, is not going to be similar. You'll see in other lines that mentality is much more similar amongst their group, because it's targeted at a specific place. The Shris, they're going to Vaikuntha in a particular relationship. Madhvas are doing the same thing. Nimbarkas, Vishnu, they're doing exactly the same thing. You know, you have the Mayavadis, they're all the same, because that's their whole point. We're all the same, right? But the Gaudiya has such a wide range, and so therefore it can accommodate that. That's the aspect, that unlimited aspect of mercy. because you're representing the Sarup Shakti. You're not representing here Lakshmi in a particular position. You're representing the Sarup Shakti. You know? You mean on one side the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. That means all other realms are coming from there. Yeah. Or you're that the internal potency. And so all other manifestations of the internal potency are expanding from there. So you're dealing on that platform, so therefore you can accommodate anything. You know, in Chaitanya's pastimes. Then beyond that, they'll have their specific place they want to go. But like you said, what's being offered by our acharyas is Braj. And so you can take that. And you can take that now and seriously, or you can spend a few lifetimes here if you please. And then get serious. No, that's there in any line. But, yeah. So that's the thing, is the Chinta-Beta-Beta-Tattva can accommodate that you're taking Vyasti to the farthest degree. Up to the understanding connected with Samasti to the farthest degree. You know, therefore you have Jagai Madhai at one end, and you have Radharani and her associates at the other, six Goswamis at the other end. Like that, and everybody's accommodated. So that's the point. We can start anywhere. So that's why then it's inappropriate to try to say that the Gaudiya line as it is how you say, not an accord, is not specifically tuned to accommodate everybody. And therefore then we try to create our own concepts, philosophies, societies, all that to accommodate what we think is a broader, you know, another, a very narrow vision that you know, or attachment, we say that's the broad vision.
Yes.
You know, it's Atmavanmanyate Jagat. It's whatever I think, that's the world, that's the, I'm the Suryadam Sarva Bhutana. Right? You know, because it's going to be really hard to get away with, you know, I'm the controller of all planets and I'm the enjoyer of everything, because that's just not working out. But at least I can be the friend of everyone. You know? So that's the modern kind of, contemporary, considered, enlightened outlook is trying to be everyone's friend. But you can only do that in context of Krishna. So it's a misnomer to think that the Gaudiya line in presentation can't accommodate everybody. It's just the particular immaturity of individuals may make it narrow, but the solution's not another immature, narrow vision. Right. You know, it means if you take the keyhole vision and you move it over here, it's still keyhole. So that has to be understood, is that we have to be very, very careful, is that what's being offered in Braj being the origin of everything, therefore you can accommodate everything. You know, you're dealing with all the rasas, all 12 rasas, all everything. You know, and then the five main rasas. Oh, that means all this is you're dealing with. While you get in Dwarka, it'll be there, but a little restricted, and then you'll get down to Vaikuntha, and it's restricted even more. So there's no, and then in the material world, then they don't even really. You're only dealing with secondary rasas. You know, so it's not very broad. So this whole point is that. You're bringing out that this is the nature of the jiva. This just is what the jiva is. It's not a matter of, I think it's this way. Or, you know, I don't believe in that. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, you may not believe in earthquakes, but they're there. You know? You haven't seen one, so, you know, like that. But they're there. So the whole point is there is the laws given by Krishna. And then, there's our view on that. Now, our view, if it accommodates Krishna, then that's perfect. If it doesn't accommodate Krishna, then it's imperfect. Does that make sense? And so imperfection's always imperfect. Right? Because when you say something's imperfect, it doesn't mean everything is wrong. Right? I mean, something may be wrong. I mean, they're walking on their feet, not on their hands. You know, they keep their nose forward when they walk rather than walk backwards. Like that. Though it is popular. I don't know if it's in the West. Do you have it in the West? Do you have it in India? Where they go out jogging, but they run backwards?
Yeah.
It's in the West also?
Yes.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good for something like that. The heart, you're supposed to be in, let's say, 1 kilometer, you're supposed to get the benefit of many more or something like that. It's some far out thing. So at least they're running in the right direction, right? You know, so the whole point is that what the acharyas have given is perfect. And they're trying to accommodate that wide range, because you don't see anybody else going out and taking, you know, one of those putty knives and going and scraping in the gutter and bringing people back to the temple. Literally, they're not. You know, Madhvashris, they go to Brahma's houses. You know? They're not going out and preaching here and there. They're not doing it. Even the other Gaudiyas, they've never done that. Only Prabhupada's done that. Others now taking that up, then now they start to get the benefit. But they're following the founder acharya. And so they're getting the results. They may say, no, we're doing this on their own. Yeah, you can say that. But anybody who's been around knows that's totally bogus. They didn't do any of this before, Prabhupada. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur tried to send people. It didn't really work out. You know, he sent them in a dhoti, they came back in a suit. You know, so that's already been tried. Right? So this idea, no, that's how we have to present ourselves. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur already sent people. They, one, already got distracted by it. And two, is he already applied that. You know what I'm saying? It's like he had people in suits, but he wasn't in a suit. Mm-hmm. You know, so Prabhupada makes that, you know, clear. Others may do that, but they, you know, your sannyasis, they don't do that. So it's these subtle points have an impact. Have some? Yes.
The confusion starts when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then right in the beginning, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says what Mahaprabhu came to offer.
Yes.
Nata Jvala Rasa.
Yes.
That's what he practices himself.
Yes.
Then we read about Nityananda and his group, and
right,
they're all Gopals.
Right.
So no problem.
Right.
Then Sachimata, you know, she's in Vatsalya, mm-hmm, but she's the only one basically in the whole. I mean, a few others, but not as many. It's not like a volume of things.
Right.
Then we continue with the Goswamis. They're all manjars.
Right.
So, and the Dasya Rasa is everywhere, basically, because
right,
everybody has their servants in their
right
particular, you know, relationship.
Right.
So then, if we follow Mahaprabhu, do we have to follow what he practices himself? Or if we follow Goswamis, do we have to practice Manjarba? Or if we follow Nitai, do we have to practice Sakya? Is that how it should be done?
Well, the whole point is when we say, okay, all these different personalities, Lord Chaitanya and all these his associates around him, may be practicing different relationships with Krishna. So what do we practice? The whole point comes down to is, what does that mean? What does that look like, you practice?
Is that our aspiration?
Aspiration, okay. Yes, aspiration. Means the point is our aspirations develop love for Krishna. And then within that, what specific aspect is attractive to us, then that's the direction it goes. You know, it's just like if you're hungry and I take you into, you know, a very nice like buffet or something like that, then you're going to be attracted to what aspects you like. But the main point is you're in there and you're going to eat food. Right? You're hungry, you eat. So the jiva, they have a natural relationship with the Lord, and acting outside of that as the conditioned soul, you know, acting as the upadis, as the body, then they're incomplete, you know, as Shankara says. So when you remove those upadis and they see themselves as servant of the Lord, you put the real identity. Because upadi means false identity. They're taking it, Shankara is presenting it as if any identity is false. No, it's where you're not identifying as the sole servant of the Lord. So they only take we're Brahman, but they don't actually identify that they're jivas. And then there's the supreme. So we're Brahman, but then there's Parabrahman. So they're making no distinction, and so then they lose out there. So for us is that then whatever's the natural thing that develops. So it doesn't need a specific thing. You have to change your lust into love, because lust is the conversion of love, you know, into the mundane. It's that love means you're doing things to please Krishna, and him being pleased and is your satisfaction. Lust means you're doing things to please yourself, and yourself, you're looking for your self satisfaction, you know, or your extended self satisfaction. So that's where we're starting. So these other things, that's not what's important. I mean, the point is somebody is, as Prabhupada points out, is that, I can't remember the verse, something, it's a bhavaya, something like that. Means in the material world, everyone's, it's about sex, intoxication, and meat eating. That's material life.
Yes.
And so that's what they're doing, and they want to be rich or famous or intelligent or, you know, some way recognized for something. Powerful, and that, but we're changing that to developing love for Krishna, because the other one's constantly changing. So it's not that you have to know, oh, is it exactly this or exactly that, or I can't focus, I can't this. These are just distractions. People, this is the meaning of Sarva Dharma, but don't make up your own religious process. They're making up their own religious process that, no, unless I know this, I can't focus and all that. First, but that's a detail. That's like saying, I can't focus on the horizon, you know, until I'm looking at a very specific tree. Only then can I see the whole horizon. No, you can see the whole horizon, and then within that, you like, okay, this area looks really nice. So that's the whole point, is they're approaching it from their own standpoint, because they're looking at it, well, where am I going to get the best benefit? Where am I? What's the greatest prestige? What's the most, you know, where am I going to get the maximum, you know, effect from? And that's why, oh, do I want to be a Manjari, or do I want to be this, or do I want to be that? You know, oh, this is so intense, and the Cowherd Boys, you know, that sounds like fun, and, you know, this and that, and so many things like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is in Bhav Sadhana. The first one, Shravana Dasa, is just hearing about and establishing yourself, let us say, for example, in the spiritual world. Then within that, that's going to be where in the spiritual world, and then within that, what relationship with Krishna within that. That's Varna Dasa. Varna means what's your nature. But the situation that you're situated in the spiritual world, the Dham, that's the situation. Then within the Dham, because all these devotees are within Vraj. You know, but then what they're doing, that's then specific. That's the second stage. But because of the, you know, how you say, associating with sahajyas, then they reverse this. Is that, no, who you are and all this and that. Because they're totally into vyasti, just into their own perspective. They don't really care about Krishna's perspective. Right? It means they're looking at their perspective and adding Krishna into it. But it's not about Krishna. Sahajiyas is not about Krishna at all, neither the impersonalists. So therefore then, they're getting distracted because they're following the wrong process. They should have to follow the acharyas. This is what's being offered, yes. What's being offered is service to Krishna in the conjugal rasa in Vrindavan. That's being offered. But the point is so, you know, how where you naturally end up, that's where you see. It's just like we see in the Bhagavatam, that when Krishna comes to Mathura, then the ladies on the roof and all that, they're glorifying the gopis. But they don't have that relationship. Then we have Bhishma Dev. He's on the bed of arrows. He's glorifying the gopis. He has his specific relationship. So the point is whatever your relationship, to be able to appreciate that surrender and that devotion of the gopis in Vrindavan, that then is going to inspire anybody in their service. It doesn't necessarily mean that's your service. If it is, very nice. That's what's being offered. But if it's not, it's not that, oh no, if I'm not that, I don't want to focus on that. If I'm a cowherd boy, then I'm just going to look at, you know, flutes and buffalo horns and all that. You know, you have to understand is that it's one path. So if you're looking down the path, you're going in the right direction. And so then know what your position is. You know, does that make sense? It's just like, does the third grader have to focus on what is the topic for his thesis for his PhD? No, they just know that I want to, you know, go as far as I can in the education. You know, my parents are doctors. I want to be, you know, and so I have to get down and do my, you know, ABCs and my 1, 2, 3, 4s. And do well at that. And so therefore you do. So that's why the thing is, well, how do we practice that? You don't practice that. You know? You practice acting not as the body, as the servant of Krishna. Because that's what they are. They're perfectly not acting on the bodily platform. They're acting as servant of Krishna. So all that we're asked to do in sadhana bhakti is everything that they're doing in the spiritual world. Just they may have a particular focus in that. Does that make sense? You know. So that's the whole thing. You know, it's just like, let us say, if you want to properly teach cooking to devotees, the first thing is to understand you're cooking for Krishna. That sets the whole understanding. Then you can learn a particular technique. But if you just focus on techniques but not on your servant of Krishna, then you're going to have a lot of trouble in the kitchen, because everyone's going to fight, everyone's going to this and that, and each one's going to think that they're a superior cook to the other one. It's a big problem. You have to start with, it's about Krishna, and so therefore that's why we're clean, we do things on time. You know, we're cooking in a specific way, we're cooking in a sattvic way. You know, it's about Krishna. You know, we may like it that the spices are burnt, because it reminds us, you know, it gives that harsh flavor, so it's more like non-vegetarian cooking. But Krishna doesn't like that. So therefore the spices are not burnt. And with time, the taste adjusts. Yes, today it doesn't. Like I mentioned, I was cooking in one temple. And the first day I cooked, everyone said it had no flavor. Because before that, the standard thing of cooking was you put the pot on, right? Because you have to do everything as fast as possible. Like that, because somehow or another, that's somehow or another is the dharma of the, I don't know about in Europe, but at least of Americans. You have to be the most efficient, most practical. You're doing 10 things at once. And, you know, and therefore, I think there's a saying in America, jack of all trades, master of none. You heard that one? Yeah. So, like that. So, they go, they turn on the stove, you know, that's burning away. Then they look for the pot. Then they put that on. Then the pot's burning. Then they go and find the ghee, run around. Then they put that in there. Now it's burning. Then they look for the spices. You know, you got a cart in that. Then they roll it over. And then, depending upon how much time was between when they put the ghee in and they found the spices, means how hot the ghee is. So that's going to make a difference between how many spices they can get inside. Like, I have 20 spices here. So then the idea is that while I'm cooking, I have to put in as many as I can until it starts to burn. Once it burns, it's done. I can't put any more. So sometime you might get 5 spices in. Sometime if it was the thing was right next to there and that, well, you might get all 20 in there. And so that was the cooking style, literally. I'm not joking here at all. There's no exaggeration. You know, this is people who were cooking there were telling me how they were cooking. And I was watching, and that's what they were doing. So I cooked the first day, and they said no taste because nothing was burnt. So it didn't have that harsh sharpness to it. You know? Then, you know, even in India, like in North, they'll throw the spices dry into the chaans, so it'll give a little bit more sharpness. You know, they don't burn it, but it gives more sharpness than if you put it in wet or if you put it in whole. And then how much you cook, and things like that. So then the first day, no one liked it. You know, but, you know, they weren't about to not have me cook because, you know, no one wants to cook. So if anybody's in the kitchen to cook, then, you know, you got to live with it. So then the second day, then a few people, third day, then some, this is nice. Then the fourth day, this is good. By the fifth day, then the grihasthas that never ate in the temple were coming to the temple and eating. You know, because they heard, whoa, what's going on here? So it does take time to adjust. So in other words, you just follow what the acharyas give, how to follow it, and then with time, the taste will adjust. And then you'll be able to appreciate the fineness that's there. So they don't have to worry that, you know, am I going, and then which one, and where am I standing, and, you know, how close am I to Radharani or Krishna, or can I move anybody out of the way, can I move up a little bit, you know. You know, this dasanu, dasanu, das, can I at least be dasanu, das, you know. I mean, I like to be das, but then Rupa Goswami says that Radharani's the only devotee, so I guess I'll have to leave that one, you know, but at least I can be, you know. So it's just a matter of, no, focus on what you're supposed to focus on. This whole thing that the kid says, well, I can't do my third grade, you know, arithmetic unless I know what's going to be my thesis and, you know, the detail of it. You know, when I do my PhD, then I can't do it. That's bogus. It sounds great to them, but they're just making it up. No one said that. Krishna doesn't say it. The acharyas don't say it. The shastras don't say it. That's the meaning of sarvadharma. Give up your own homemade religions. Does that make sense? Like that.
Homemade is popular.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Homemade is popular. Does that work?
Yes. Also, we study Jiva Dharma and trying to explain the position of the Jiva as we discussed now. Mm-hmm. Then the natural position, it's a tatastha, mm-hmm. and in a Brahma Bhuta state.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever happens, happens. Going there or going here, mm-hmm. that's just, you know, mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, if we are tatastha in a Brahma-Bhuta state, then coming back to that state, is it like any rasa is open? Is that all we have, like a natural inclination?
It's just like, the child, the example is also given, like the child. When they're born, they have a natural relationship with the parents, but that has to develop. So we have a natural relationship. The point is, but we have a natural relationship of being tatastha, then we're in that neutral position on whether we want to take advantage of that or not. We have that choice. And so therefore, then, you know, we see 9 out of 10, they make that choice to move forward, and 1 out of 10 doesn't. So, you know, how many unlimited living entities there are here, and that's just one universe out of unlimited. So you can imagine how big is the spiritual world. You know. So, no, you have your natural relationship. Point is, you want to change this, that? You could, technically, but the point is why would you? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you like strawberries and there's strawberries and bananas. You could change and make bananas your favorite. You could. But your strawberries are already your favorite. So then why do you need to change? You know? See, in the material world, you want options because nothing satisfies you. And even if you get what you want, you know, within time, you're not satisfied. You need something else. So that's the difficulty. This particular question is coming up because of material, experience. And so they want to have their options open because they don't want to be limited, because limited means my options for enjoying are limited. Rather than, they're not understanding what Dharma means. Dharma means the inherent nature. It's inherent. Like the soul, Sat, Chit, Ananda, that's inherent. So therefore, eternity, knowledge, and bliss, that's what we're discussing here. Is that, you know, the person, they're eternal. They can't be cut, they can't be this, that, they're always there. Then, now is the knowledge. They have knowledge. They can perceive things and all that. That's inherent. Then you're going to get to the point of Ananda. That happiness, that's inherent in them. So if they're inherently, with their knowledge, dealing with what is their nature, then they're going to be happy. Right? So mixing that with variety means the spiritual world creates variety for Krishna, to create variety in taste, variety of opportunities for the devotees to eternally express their devotion to Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we're making mistake here and combining that this variety that's meant for Krishna should be for us. Right? And the central feature of happiness is us, not Krishna. You know? And we're looking at our experience from the material world, that the more options I have. It's just like, okay, let us say an individual has 250 outfits. How many will they actually ever wear? Right? 30, 40, 50. But if they only had 30, 40, 50, they would feel that they're less. But you have 250, yes. Then they feel they're ready for anything. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. It's just like, it means, let us say you have a person who hates to do housework. Right? And they're not rich. But what kind of house do they want? They want a little dinky house, or they want a big house? They want a big house. Why? With lots of rooms and this. And, you know, you want that terrace. It's just like, let's say here in... devotees come and, you know, places are made with balconies. But what do devotees do with the balcony?
Hang their clothes,
maybe put a few plants there, and eventually, if they could, they would block it off and make it part of the house.
Yes,
like that. So for them, a balcony doesn't mean anything.
Yes.
But you see in India, balconies, that's used. In the winter, you go sit out there. That's where you put on your oil, sit in the sun, you know, things like that. Or in the evenings, you know, in the summer, you go sit out there and, you know, maybe sit with the family or eat something out there or talk or meet with friends. Or, you know, it's a very active place. You know, it's used in the day in the winter and the mornings and evenings in the summer. So it's a very important place. In the house. But it's not. But at the same time, Westerners will always want that balcony, always want that terrace, though they'll never use it.
Yes.
They'll always want the jacuzzi, they'll always want this and that and the loft and this and so many things, that, and they'll never use any. They don't even know how to cook. But they have to have that monster kitchen. You know, that they have to have the, you know, dining table for 12, though they'll only be sitting there themselves eating, and generally they'll sit at the counter in the kitchen.
Also, half of the kitchen stuff is in the balcony, drying up most of the time.
So yeah, that's
spices.
Yeah, you know, so something is, so you understand? So people want this variety as if they're going to get something, but they can't use it. But in the spiritual world, they know how to use it. So they use it all because it's all used for Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they don't have to worry about it. That's the thing. They're getting an anxiety about something that they don't need to be in anxiety about. Because the point is it will naturally develop. It will be. It's like if you use the example of the mirror, the mind. When you polish the mirror and take off the dust, you can see who you are. So that's the point. Is this our natural spiritual form is just covered by this form, right? It's covered by the growth, the karna shirir, by the subtle body, and by the gross body. And so, therefore, when you uncover it, then you'll know who you are. So the point is if you're worried about knowing who you are, then get purified. How do you get purified? By being Krishna conscious, focusing on Krishna. And then all these things will naturally be revealed. They don't have to worry that, no, I have to know now, otherwise how can I be inspired? It's kind of like, oh, what do you mean? That's bogus. How did you come to the temple? You were out there on the street and everything like that, and the guy came up to you with a book and all that and says, here's a book about spiritual knowledge, and your first question is, can you tell me who I am in the spiritual world and my relationship with Braja Krishna? You know? And then the devotee said, yeah, well, the Goswamis, you know, Rupa Goswami is talking about, you know, Manjari Bab and this and that and all that, and, you know, is this left wing or right wing? You know, so those, this is, you know, in the left, and that's the Radharani, and okay, I can live with that. It's cool. Okay, where's your temple? You know, that's how all of them joined, right? Every last one of them would ask this question, right? Not one of them.
It would be interesting.
It would be, wouldn't it? that would be interesting. That's a, so you've come across... No. They join, they're inspired and all that. Only when they hear about this, now, oh no, I got to know about this. It's just gossip. It's just gossip. These things are there, but nice. You can hear about them. They're talked about and all that. But at the same time, as then, you know, if that's what's interesting to you, then you'll go in that direction. But this idea is, okay, that's interesting, but can I keep the doors open for others interesting? And then you'll never get there. It's natural. So the point is then if it doesn't make sense, then that means the heart's not pure. And so you just keep chanting, hearing, associating with devotees, following the process, the heart gets purified, then you'll be able to appreciate. So it's just a matter of time. Does that work?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you just have to distract back to the reality. Yes.
So it seems that actually when we study the scripture like that, if we don't have ourselves a seva for Krishna, the tendency is to speculate and to try to find something without being patient.
Yes, yes.
Actually, it is. I also realize myself the importance to study, to apply, and to have a service. If the service is missing, tendency to speculate is more.
Yes, yes. That, yeah, yeah. Well, it's what do you call it? Idle mind is the devil's workshop.
Yes.
You know, so. Yeah, you know, it's just like, you know.
Because this is one of the difficulties in discourse, Maharaj, you know. That, okay, we get something new, but for the, if we are not prepared for the course, if we don't adjust, we can easily go to different directions.
Yes, yes. That's why then we see the acharyas are taking us through in a very specific way, you know, step by step. You know, that they're taking us here. Like here, we see as Jiva Goswami is taking us step by step through what is the nature of the Jiva. And we can say as well, what's the importance of all this? But somehow or another, this detail is not important, but what exact detail I am and, you know, who I am in Braj, that's important. But the point is you're not there. You know? Radharani just hears about Krishna. She immediately falls in love with him. She hears about Krishna in three different situations from three different gopis. She thinks she's in love with three different boys.
Yes.
We are hearing about Krishna all the time, the same pastimes and all that, and the love? Not really much there. You know, there's some inspiration, we feel some happiness there, but when the story is over and the discussion's over and we go back to our life, then we may not be... maintaining, we may not be steady in that. So that's the whole point. Yes, these things are tasty. But the point is with the gopis, That's steady.
Yes.
With those of the spiritual world, that's steady. That's the meaning, you know. You know, and so for us, that's their rati is steady. That's why it's called stai bhav. It's fixed. It's steady. Well, for us, there's that taste, and then it goes out. So the first thing we have to do is get steady in our sadhana.
Yes.
And when we're steady in the sadhana, that can bring us to bhava, which then can bring us to prema. But this idea that my sadhana will bring me to prema, no. Sadhana will bring you to bhava. Bhava will bring you to prema. You have the goal, I want to develop love for Krishna. But these things, what we're talking about, is all worked out at bhava. You know, you have an idea beforehand, great. But this whole, I will, is it this or is it that, then don't worry about it. It's either, oh, this is interesting, and like that, or leave it. You know, it's just like this. Let us say we have a person, you take two people to this buffet. And you see one person just looks at the whole thing, walks over, gets something, piles up the plate, sits down and starts eating. And the other person, well, this and that, and well, maybe that, and what about this, and all like that, but then say this one, this. And there's so much of this calculation. What's the actual real difference between these two people? What's the real situation? What's the drive that's different?
When he knows what he wants.
Okay, when he knows what he wants, that you could look at, that's an intellectual thing, but is intellectual what drives you? You want to eat lunch because of an intellectual platform? What drives you?
Taste.
Okay, but even you have a taste for eating. Let's say you've just had a full meal, and I bring your stuff, and I bring your favorite thing to eat. Can you eat it? Are you interested? No. So what drives you?
Hunger.
So the point is the one, well, maybe this, maybe that.
Yes.
They're not hungry.
Yes.
Well, should I eat this? Should I eat
yes.
that? The other one, he's hungry. So
yes.
He'll just go and whatever, he'll just get it and eat it.
Yes.
So there's no hunger. That's why the acharyas, they talk about greed. That greed is that hunger.
Yes.
They've mentioned it, but we kind of sit that on the side and just sit back in our armchair. Well, you know, it could be this, we could be that. Where's the greed? The greed is what drives it. Without the greed, then nothing comes up. You greed, you want prema, you want to serve Krishna, you want to follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. That is what makes it happen. But they're thinking, no, by my speculation and my feeling, and I talk with friends, it's a nice thing for discussion, and you know, this and that. But it's nice as long as it's interesting to yourself. Can you say, no, but it's about Krishna? So yes, it is. It's Krishna conscious. But we notice that you're interested in the conversation as long as the conversation is going in the way you like. And if it's not, then you suddenly have other things to do. So the whole point is, where's the greed? The greed is what drives it. So that's the whole thing. And why is there no greed? Because the heart is impure. So we're greedy about material things. You know, we're very inspired about that. And this is just a temporary thing connected with our conditioning. And so we know what we like this and that. Does that make sense?
There is always greed, Maharaj. There is always greed for material.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
One of the ways, greed means you want to get more. That's all greed is. You have one, you want two. You have two, you want four. You know, so you have that kirtan, that want more kirtan, more hearing and chanting, more this and that, more like that. So that's then what's going to drive it. And so that's the whole point. And how does that come up? Because that's not going to come up as long as the heart is impure. So therefore, you want to develop love for Krishna. You follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. You follow your sadhana. That purifies the heart. Then you get more and more interested in these things. And at some point, that will be revealed. Like that. You know. What does it matter? Today, tomorrow, it'll be revealed. It's not that it won't be. You know. You know, what's the point of revealing something you can do nothing about it? Yeah. Is that, yeah. Is that okay? Because as soon as you hit him with the greed part, then now it throws it back into their court.
Peaceful.
Yeah. The jiva is eternal. Nama shutehe. The jiva is not born because of shruti statements. And because its eternal nature is understood from Shruti and Smriti, Brahma Sutra 2.3.16. Right? So the jiva is eternal, right? Because we said the eternal, knowledge, and bliss. Mm-hmm. Right? So he's not born. It's not the word born. We're always there. We're eternal. Since the jiva is eternal, being the shelter of knowledge is jiva's natural quality. Shruti says, Vigyataram are kena vijani yat. By what should the knower be known? Priyad Aranyaka Upanishad 4.3.30. The jiva knows. Right? So that's why then you have to see is that when it's dealing in the context, is it talking about the jiva or talking about Krishna? Because all the qualities that are there in the jiva are there in Krishna.
Yes.
You know, all the positive, proper, good qualities. Mm-hmm. You know, the progressive qualities. The impure qualities, that's just there in conditioning, covering the jiva. So then you see as some verses then, like we're quoting, we're talking about the jiva. Then we see as the Mayavadis, they'll quote the ones that are about Krishna and then try to say that's the jiva. You know, and the ones that talk about the jiva, they'll say, oh, that's just illusion. So their whole point is anything's illusion except I'm God. That's not illusion. That's their idea. Na pashyo mritum pashyati no rogam nota dukatam. The jiva does not see death, sickness, or unhappiness. Right? The jiva doesn't. They identify, but they don't actually. Chandogya Upanishad 7.26.2. Sa utamaf purusha nopa jannam smaratidam shariram. The jiva knows. The jiva knows. Maybe it's who knows. Just. Or the knowing jiva, or the jiva who knows, does not remember his body or his friends. Chandogya Upanishad 8.12.3. Evam evasya pari drashtur ima shodasha kala purushayanam shayana purusha prapyas tam gacchati. The jiva's 16 material parts disappear on achieving the Lord. Prashna Upanishad 6.5. Do we know the 16 parts? Sodasha Kala, the jiva? No? Though it is established that the jiva is naturally a knower, his knowing that he is a body by ignorance is also jiva's knowledge. But because it is of its relation to ignorance, it is not natural to the jiva. Right? So even the material he knows, because of his nature of knowing. So that's why all living entities do their things because they're jivas. The living entity, all the living entities you see, they're all trying to be happy, you know, trying to maintain themselves, trying to create an eternal happy position. That's because they're jivas.
Yes.
Right? If they're dead matter couldn't care less. It's going to be around whether they do anything or not. Right? The bricks, these bricks over here are going to be fine, you know, whether they have a house to sit in or not, right? They're still going to be earth, no matter what happens, right? And that's the manifestations. So if you go back to the elements, they're going to be there eternally, no matter, you know, what happens, you know, whether they turn into a brick or turn into dirt or anything else, you know? And then going back, you go back into, they'll be in Pradhan, that'll be there eternally. So in other words, they don't have to worry about it.
Yes.
So this anxiety for gain and safety, that's coming from the jiva, not from material energy. Now that may be covered by upadis, but it's just that's not the natural knowledge of the jiva. The natural knowledge is to know themselves as servant of the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Rather, it is a distortion. Thus, Shruti says, jayativa leilayativa. The jiva appears to think and move about. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.3.7. According to the condition of the upadis of the body, the jiva as a knower reveals itself to various degrees. The example of being the knower as a pure jiva is given. Right, so according to the upadis, let's say the upadis are in ignorance, then the distortion will be greater, so the knowledge will be more distorted. You have a body in passion, it'll be distorted. And you know, and then you have in goodness, it'll be the least distorted. But when you're in pure goodness, it's not distorted at all. Yes?
We say that the jivas are everywhere, and they are in different conditions.
Yes.
But let's say the jiva is in the tree body or
yes.
stone, it still would be whatever it says this here. So the jiva appears to think and move about, or is it because the upadis are so thick?
It means they think, but they may not move much. They might, the branches might move a little bit. They grow a bit.
But they still have all the qualities of the jiva, just not manifested.
Yes, it means the jivas in the plants and vegetable form, it's covered so much. You know, also stones. In other words, the non-moving living entities. Mm. Is that it's so covered? I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that it's what is that term? It's constricted. I think the consciousness is so reduced that they can only perceive the six transformations of life. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending—they can't perceive either. They can only understand, you know, appearance, growth, maintenance, reproduction, dwindling, and death. That's all they can perceive. Mm-hmm. You know, and that'll be drawn out over a long period of time. You know, so they're not very, very conscious. Then the animals, then that is, can't remember, but it just means it's they're covered, so they're in ignorance, so they can't go beyond that. Then with human, then you have that it's, okay, then now you're dealing with something that you know, can develop. Because in these other two, they won't develop. The tree is, as is, it's going to be, how you say? Tree is as tree does. You know, it's not going to adjust. Same with the animals. But in humans, they can move forward or move backwards. They can maintain the mentality of the animals and plants, and so they'll move backwards. Or they can move forward. And so from there, then they'll go into that, there's that basic kind of, you know, anamoy-centered kind of thing, or they can be that theistic, or then they can go into understanding the relationship with the Lord and developing love for the Lord. So then that platform, so the anandamaya, then that's the natural, you know, opening. You know, before that it's a bud. So bud is starting to open, you know, when you get to that vijnana, well, then it's open at that. That's in a bud. So bud has the potential to open, but as the plants and animals, the moving and non-moving, there's no potential for opening. So it's just by karma that you had the opportunity as a human to do, but you didn't do. So therefore, then you get a body that matches your consciousness. So that's why then they can't. But they get benefit. If you do kirtan, you know, under the trees there, the trees all get benefit. It's all the jñāta sukriti. They'll move forward. You know, that spiritual benefit they'll have got from the vibration of the kirtan, that will eternally be with them. You know, yeah. You know, and you can pour some charinamrita, put a few garlands, you know, like this. You know, they all get benefit. After the jiva as a knower has been established, the jiva is established as a doer, right? So he knows, and now he does. Because that'll also be a point, is that he's a non-doer. They'll take that as that he doesn't exist. He's nothing exists. There's no activity in that. No, he's a doer. But we always have to see, of course, in the context of his doing in relation to the Lord. But at least establishing the position, he is doing things. It is not natural that an unconscious object can be a doer. Being a doer is also observed to be the equivalent of consciousness. You only do things because you're conscious. Right? It means it's even commented if somebody's doing things in an unconscious way. The quality of it is considered very bad. You know? Like that. It is a quality of the jiva. The action seen in an unconscious object arises by relationship with the antaryami, or from control of the jiva. For instance, milk flows from a breast because the breast is related to the jiva. Right? So you see things happening, something going on because of its connection with the jiva. Or we see material nature is there. You know, there's an earthquake or there's an avalanche or the clouds move because the super soul is there. He's controlling all that. Etasya va akar rasya prasasane prasasane gargi jav partiv vyav vidrite tishtaha. Etasya va akar shasya surya chandra masau vidritau tishtata. By the command of Akshara, the Lord, heaven and earth remain in their place. By command of Akshara, the sun and moon remain in their place. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.8.9. Narite tvat kriyate kim chanare. Without you, nothing is done. Rig Veda 10.12.9. So establishing that, by the Lord, then everything is done. Then we see is that within that, now then the jiva can act, and their minute independence can be applied. Yes. Thus, being a doer is the quality of the conscious jiva. This is stated in the Brahma Sutra 2.3.31-37. Vijnanam yajnam tanute karmani tanute picha. Knowledge. Jiva performs sacrifice and performs action. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.5.1. Vijnana does not mean intelligence in this text. Eshahi drashta, sprashta, srota, rasaita, grata, manta, bodha, karta, vijnanatma, purushaha. The jiva is the seer, the toucher, the hearer, the taste, the smeller, the thinker, the comprehender, the doer, and the knower. Prashna Upanishad 4.9. Right, so it's meaning in the context of knowing. Right? Because the thing is when you say vijnana means you know. It's not meaning intelligence. You may be working in the area of intelligence, but you know. Just like you see, there's very intelligent people working on, studying matter. But their consciousness is on anamoy. So they're using the intelligence from vijnanamoy, but it's in there. Or social, workers and those in economy and these, they're using big intelligence, but for there. Or they're using intelligence for karmakanda, or they're using intelligence for liberation, or they're using intelligence for understanding their relationship with the Lord. So it's what they know. Does that make sense? That you know something. You're the knower. So that's how it comes into that position. It's the application. Like means when you have sat chit ananda. So chit means consciousness. Chit means, knowledge, knower. But what is that position in the Vastutraya? Right? Yeah, I say sambandha avideya prayojana. Sure, it's the second. Yes. Good.
Die.
So avideya, so that means it's applied, right? Like we say the abhidha shakti is how you can understand something. But it's to be applied because it's direct, you apply it. Does that make sense? You read, you should surrender unto Krishna.
Yes.
So then we apply that in surrender to Krishna, as Abhideya.
Yes.
like that. So the point is the vijnana, the important part is to know, not to understand, you know, but to know, or not to speculate, but to know. Know means you do, so that makes them the doer. Does that make sense? You do what you know. Yeah. And that's because you have intelligence, you have consciousness, you have senses, so you can perceive things.
But now also we do something also in consideration we are intent.
Yes. Means but your intent is only going to be based on things that you know.
Yes.
And your determination to apply that.
Yes.
Then you have intent.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. So they're pointing out the dynamic aspect. So that's why you see is this mental speculation isn't very important.
Yes.
We take it, oh no, it's intelligence, so it's that. But we're saying what you know, what you apply,
yes,
what you realize, that's what's important.
Yes.
Son, do you remember what's on the Vijnana Purusha? Vijnana Maya Purusha?
Vijnana Maya Purusha, the basis is the jiva, and then the faith is the head, and the right hand is the knowing the deeper meaning of the scriptures.
Right.
And then one is
applying that, isn't it?
Applying, yeah. Knowledge is right, and then knowing the inner meaning of the scriptures is left.
Is the left in the torso?
Attaining that.
Attaining that. So that means there's action.
Yes.
So that's the whole point, is the body of it. And the limbs are there to attain the body, just like you have your body.
Yes.
Your limbs are there to take care and protect and
yes,
feed and do
yes,
things with the body. So therefore, having that faith, trying to, using the intelligence to understand, taking understanding the deeper meaning,
yes,
then you're going to apply that and realize that.
Yes.
That's the whole point. So vijnana then means that realization. It means applied.
Yes.
So the jiva has to do things. That's the point. He's the doer. So that he's chit means he does things.
Yes.
You know, we'll take, oh, that's sentimental, this and that, because we want to speculate and take that as the highest thing. In other words, speculation is the body.
Yes.
But that's not Vijnanamaya Purush.
Yes.
You know, I don't think it's any of the Purushas. It's just, they've just made it up. That's why Sarva Dharma and Paritya give up all these self-made religions.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah? Yeah. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Jai.